danger. And, as I said, I do need something.
I can go outside and get a sharp piece of coral.
Doc felt his bowels run cold. That damn man would ruin everything.
Al Potter, give the old man his stick. Let's get this going.
Here, catch, you old fart. Now get to writing.
Casually, Doc seized the lion's head, gave it a twist, and stepped away with bare steel in his hand. Before anybody could react, Doc lunged forward and slipped the point through the neck of the guard before him. Doc swung around, and Ryan was already on the stage, his hands as far apart as the ropes would allow. The razor-sharp steel sword sliced easily through the plastic, and Ryan slammed both of his fists into the faces of onrushing Sekhmen, teeth and bones breaking from the powerful blows. As they crumbled, Ryan grabbed a blaster from the fallen man and fired a round at the Baron. The mini-ball impacted into the wood of his throne, missing his head by a hair.
Kill them!
Withers drew both revolvers from his belt. Both of the blasters jammed.
Son of a bitch!
Save the Baron!
Potter led a rush of guards. Knowing this was their only chance, JB threw himself to the floor and rolled into their path. Two dodged out of the way, but two more tripped over the armorer and went sprawling. Punching one in the groin, JB buried his teeth into the other guard's throat. He ripped free a ragged gobbet of flesh, veins and ligaments stretching horribly from the ghastly wound. A Sekhmen was drawing a bead on his father, so Dean spun and kicked the guard directly in the stomach. The man doubled over, but didn't drop his blaster. So the boy slammed a knee into his face, crushing the nose in a bloody spray. Then Dean wrapped his tied hands around the man's throat and tried to throw him over a shoulder. The Sekhmen jerked from the attempt, and the Sekhmen crumpled to the floor with a broken neck. Grabbing the fallen man's blaster, Dean fired at Potter just as he reached the throne. The back of the lieutenant's head blew clear off. As the corpse toppled, the boy rushed forward for the Thompson still held in the twitching fingers. But another guard got there first and started fiddling with the rapid fire, trying to make it work. Dodging incoming lead, Doc abandoned killing strikes and stabbed his sword stick among the Sekhmen, wounding as many as possible. A shot was fired that tugged on the old man's coat, death avoided only because he was constantly in motion. Reaching the throne, Ryan grabbed the twin Webley 44 revolvers from the headless lieutenant and blasted a path to the weapons table.
Shit!
Tossing away the spent revolvers, Ryan grabbed the first thing in sight and turned to fire the Uzi at an onrushing guard. He was gambling all of their lives on the belief that the sailors might have pulled the clip, but wouldn't think of working the bolt to eject the round in the chamber. A shrieking man clutched his ruined face, eyes and teeth flowing between his blood-smeared fingers. Spinning away, Ryan dodged a thrown knife and grabbed a clip for the rapid fire. Slamming it in, he jerked the bolt and cut loose. The stuttering machine pistol sprayed copper-jacketed 9mm rounds into the startled sailors. A round hit the table alongside him, spraying out splinters, and Ryan winced as several stabbed into his bruised leg. Those damn rocks had done more damage than he first thought.
Fire blast!
Ryan rode the rapid fire into tight groupings, the barrage of hot lead knocking down the pirates. The bolt kicked back when the clip was spent, and Ryan went around the table to grab the Lama. Remembering Doc's lectures on the oddball blaster, he clicked back the hammer before pulling the trigger and unleashed thunder. The last sailor slammed off the floor as he rushed up the aisle for the exit. The slug hit him in the back, blood splashing under the wood in front. But incredibly, the sailor still fumbled with the latch. Holding down the trigger, Ryan fanned the hammer and put a barrage of mini-balls into the man before he finally surrendered and slid to the floor in a crumpled heap.
Tough son of a bitch.
Good work, Doc.
Violence is the last resort of the thinking man. But only a fool refuses to face the fact when it becomes the option for life.
Dean limped to the table. Ryan cut the boy's ropes. He briefly inspected his face, which was already turning purple, but it was only a bruise.
You okay, boy?
Been better. Give me a blaster.
Just then, the door slammed open, and guards rushed into the throne room, waving blasters. Taking cover from behind the rows of chairs, JB mowed them down with the Thompson. The ancient blaster chattered a stream of .45 caliber rounds at the startled men, tearing them apart. As the last man fell, JB and Doc raced to close the doors and dropped a heavy locking bar into place, only moments before something heavy hit the doors from the other side.
Reinforcements are here.
JB and Doc started piling benches, chairs, and anything else they could find in front of the double doors as a barricade.
This will hold for a while, but I fear not for long.
Rifling the still-living Baron for spare ammo, Ryan found several shells for the Webleys and reloaded the blasters.
What the hell are you doing?
Shut up!
Who the fuck do you think...
Ryan fired a round right next to the Baron's ear, the muzzle flash washing over the appendage.
Where's your escape route? Show me, you son of a bitch!
Weakly, Withers pointed. Ruthlessly, Ryan dragged the dying man along to show the way. He didn't like torture, but it was the Baron's life or theirs. Desperately, Ryan wanted to ask about Christie and the others, but there really was no time. A heavy red curtain covered the wall behind the throne, and hidden under a second tapestry was a small door made of old steel, pieces of metal bolted into place for additional armor.
Found it!
Withers suddenly got loose in a burst of strength and managed to pull a Derringer from his shirt. The Baron shoved the tiny blaster into the Outlander's face, just as Ryan triggered both Webleys at point-blank range. The double blast literally blew the man in two, his face a rictus of shock as the Derringer harmlessly discharged toward the ceiling. Shoving the warm body aside, JB rummaged in his munitions bag and got busy with his lockpicks on the door, while Ryan stood guard, Dean and Doc dragging over the table and throne for protection. Minutes ticked by, and the main door remained quiet, which only meant that the pirates were trying something new.
Got it.
Ryan leveled the twin Webley blasters while the door opened. The brick room beyond was small and dark, lacking even a window. Doc flicked a match into life on the wall, and the tiny flame revealed an arsenal of blasters. Flintlocks, revolvers, long blasters, shotguns, pepper boxes, and a dozen huge barrels of black powder. There were even a few cases of Grens. As they filled their pockets with ammo, Ryan paused for a moment at the sight of a bolt-action long blaster, a Weatherby 460 Nitro Express. The bullets looked even bigger than the man-stoppers used by a Barrett 1A. He debated the matter for a precious moment, then grabbed the Weatherby and passed it to Dean.
Try this. We'll need the extra firepower.
Without a word, Dean slid the long blaster over his shoulder and raided the boxes for the bulky ammo. The balance of the heavy Weatherby was odd, but the boy was sure he could handle the recoil.
This must be the pirates' treasure trove. Stuff they got off all the ships they raided and sank.
Take the Grens, then find a fuse. We'll need a diversion to help us get out of here and find the others.
No prob.
Old friend, I fear to offer the suggestion, but the others may already be across the River Styx, in the arms of Morpheus Eternal, as they say.
Ryan worked the Stier's bolt, slamming in a fresh rotary clip.
Maybe, but I'll need to see their dead bodies before leaving.
There was a small explosion near the double doors, and through the swirling gray smoke charged a swarm of men who began climbing over the smashed barricade with sharp knives held in their teeth.
Let's get the hell out of here!
A chill took Christie, and she instantly awoke to find herself stark naked and strapped spread-eagled on a hard bed.
Oh, great.
The room was large and well-lit, golden sunlight streaming in through the open windows. Old, faded, decorative paper with flowers and grapes covered the walls. The ceiling, a rough stucco, popular with rich civvies, for some unknown reason. Nude centerfolds from girly mags had been pasted into picture frames here and there. A large armoire with hinged doors stood near a small table with a wash basin, a stoppered jug of water, and several bottles of homemade shine. The only door in sight was closed and bolted shut. Christie tested the ropes holding her to the posts of the canopied bed and found them much too strong to break. Sniffing, the woman realized the sheets were old and used, reeking faintly of rancid sweat. Across the room, Mildred was also stripped naked and tied up in a heavy wooden chair. The physician seemed unharmed.
Awake at last. Good. I much prefer it when my sluts know what's happening to them.
In a shadowy corner of the bedroom, a short woman rose from a wingback chair and padded over to the Outlanders. The newcomer was beautiful. Wavy, ebony hair hung down to her trim waist, and firm breasts pushed against the front of her flower-print dress. making the fabric gape between the taut buttons. Her face was oval, with a pointed chin, her arms and long legs smooth and evenly tanned.
Where are we? No, tell me later. Cut us free and we'll help you escape.